The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Filled with the Holy Spirit, Jesus returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the desert for 40 days to be tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and when they were over, he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." But Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live on bread alone." Then he took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a single instant. And the devil said to him, "I shall give to you all this power and glory, for it has been handed over to me, and I may give it to whomever I wish. All of this will be yours if you worship me." But Jesus said in reply, "It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him alone shall you serve." Then he led him to Jerusalem, made him stand on the parapet of the temple, and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you, and with their hands they will support you, lest you dash your foot against a stone." And Jesus said to him in reply, "It also says, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished every temptation, he departed from him for a time. My sisters and brothers, the Gospel of the Lord. In his writing about the Year of Mercy, Pope Francis said this recently: "Especially this Lent, I'm hoping that we will discover there is no one and no place beyond the grace of God's mercy and compassion. No one. We just need the eyes to see it and the heart to receive it." Taking the Holy Father at his word and at the beginning of our Lenten mission, let me tell you a story which demonstrates his point so vividly. My first appointment as a Jesuit priest was to the Jesuit parish of St. Canice's at King's Cross in Sydney. King's Cross is the red light district of that wonderful city, famous for prostitution, street kids, runaways, substance abusers, and criminals. It was, as you can already tell, a very colourful parish. Because my first degree is in music, I announced early on that I would be refounding the Catholic Church's choir. And anyone who'd like to join the choir should come and see me straight after Mass, and I'll give you all the details of when and where we'll meet for our first rehearsal. After the 10:30 Mass on the sidewalk, up walked a beautifully dressed woman, a very tall lady, in a midnight blue outfit with a big floral hat. She walked up to me and said, "Excuse me, Father. My name's Gloria, and I'd like to join the choir. I sing bass." I said, "Well, it's very hard to find basses, Gloria. You'll be very welcome. We look forward to seeing you tomorrow night in the choir loft at 7:30. "Good on you, Father. See you then." She walked off, stopped, turned on her stiletto and said, "You realise I'm a transvestite, don't you, Father?" And I said, "Gloria, even I worked out that you're a transvestite." I said, "It's very hard to find a woman who can actually sing bass." Gloria was, without question, the worst bass I have ever heard in my life. The only note she actually had was that deep sonorous note that some basses can get at the end of a motet or a hymn, and she used to let it go. So the amen, she would go, "Amen," and it would rip through a church like nothing. Well, word spread like wildfire around King's Cross that you've got to come and hear the transvestites singing in the Catholic Church's choir. And our Sunday congregation was more colourful than it was even usually. And one Sunday, we had all of her transvestite and transsexual friends in for Mass. Wonderful that they were with us. And she let out one of those big amens, and down the church it went. And with that, two pews of her friends jumped up in the middle of Mass and yelled out, "You show 'em, girl!" Now, I know this will come as a shock to some of you, but not everybody in our Catholic parish was coping. And eventually, they took up a petition which asked us to remove Gloria from the choir, because we were told she was making a mockery of the Mass and she was a distraction to our prayer, and it just has to stop. She has to go. It got to our parish council, and I was blessed with a 71-year-old Irish Jesuit priest as my pastor called Father Donald Taylor. Donald never said a single word at parish council meetings except the opening and closing prayer. And I used to challenge him about this. I said, "Why don't you join in the discussions and the debates and the decisions?" And I'll never forget Donald once said to me, "Look, I let the laity have their head at that moment. You know, I let them have their little discussions and their little debates and their decisions. Because the bottom line is this, if they decide to do something that I don't want to do, I won't be doing it anyway." Which is not the best model of governance I have ever heard in my entire life. But on this one occasion, they turned to Donald and said, "Father, is there anything you'd like to say before we put this to the vote about whether Gloria should come or go?" And I'll never forget what that magnificent Irish Jesuit said. He said, "On this occasion, I've got something to say, all right. In the 14th chapter of Luke's Gospel, our blessed Lord says that when you give a banquet, don't invite your rich friends, because you're only inviting them so they might invite you back. But when you go give a banquet, the good Lord says, he says, you go out to the highways and the byways and pull in the poor, the crippled, the lame and the blind. Last I checked, it is the Lord himself who invites us all to the Mass. It is the Lord himself who hosts us all at the Mass. And it is the Lord himself who sends us out from the Mass. And the likes of you lot sitting around this table tonight deciding who the Lord will and will not have at his Eucharist. Well, you mark this well. You ask that fella to go tonight, we'll never see him or his friends again. And the Lord has invited them, last I checked. And if he goes, your four Jesuits on your precious parish staff will be gone in the morning as well. He goes, we go. Now go ahead and have your little vote." We won the vote. And Gloria stayed. Stay with me and I'll get gender confused. Gloria came to see me a couple of months later to tell me that her wife was dying of cancer in another city and she needed to get some help. She wanted some help to sort out some of her issues so she could go home to be with her very sick indeed, I discovered later, her dying wife. And she vanished from the parish while she was undergoing some counselling and therapy. And then one day a man turned up at the rectory door and I didn't even know who it was until he spoke. "G'day, Father. Gordon, just come to say goodbye and thank you for everything." And about a year later, a letter arrived from Gordon, in which he said, "If you'd like to, would you read this out at the parish masses?" "Would we like to?" This is what it said. "A year ago, as you all know, I arrived home and connected again with my wife and sons. Tonight at home, with the three of us holding her, she died peacefully of the breast cancer she's had for the last almost 2 years. I know I wouldn't even have been here tonight if it wasn't for the goodness of the Catholic community at King's Cross. I know it wasn't easy for some of you having a drag queen in your choir, but you believed in me even when I didn't know who I was, what I wanted and where I needed to go. Because you hung in there with me, I was able to find out what really mattered to me, to get some help, come home, nurse my wife to her death, and now be a father to my boys in the way they deserved. Who could have thought that approaching Father Richard on the sidewalk of your parish church was actually going to play itself out into reconciling a husband to a wife who was magnificent in forgiveness and to giving back to two boys their dad because they did nothing to deserve to be orphans? I'm not sure if, Father Richard, you remember the first song you taught us in the choir I know exactly now what it means. Because if I have understood that hymn correctly, it doesn't matter where you start with God's love. It matters where his mercy and compassion will finish it. Do you know what that song was? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. 'Twas blind, but now I see. My brothers and sisters, welcome to Lent. Welcome to our Lenten mission and welcome to the Year of Mercy, where there is no one and nothing beyond God's compassion and love, and where we're here this week and every week to celebrate amazing grace. What a privilege for us to be here to do it. Amen.